Hey, welcome to our Growth Dummy summary of Deep Work by Cal Newport. Deep work is about focusing deeply so you can thrive in your professional career. Cal Newport says reducing distractions and increasing our ability to concentrate will allow us to learn new skills faster and produce higher quality work. And our top quote from this book is, "Clarity about what matters provides clarity about what does not." End quote. And taking a quick look at the online reviews for this book, on Amazon it has a 4.6 star rating, and on Goodreads it has 4.2 stars. Positive reviewers said they loved the many actionable tips for avoiding shallow work, focusing deeply, and avoiding all the modern digital distractions we face. Critical reviews said the book could have been much shorter and it spent too much time arguing for the importance of focus, which most people already agree with. So let's begin. Beeping phones, overflowing inboxes, endless news feeds, and clever advertising algorithms that almost read our minds. It's no secret our world is becoming noisier every year. We're bombarded with new technology, but we never received a guide for managing it effectively. This is the guide. Cal Newport is a computer scientist, but ironically his big message in Deep Work is that it's good to disconnect. So hide your phone and unplug the Wi-Fi because you're about to learn how to focus. It's all about setting aside dedicated blocks of time free of distraction and interruption to accomplish deep work. And if you study the lives of the most accomplished people ever, you'll see they all made time for this type of deep concentration, including people like Bill Gates, J.K. Rowling, and Charles Darwin. Part 1 of Deep Work explains why deep work is so important for succeeding in our modern economy. Cal Newport believes that learning to focus deeply on challenging tasks is the best way for most people to move ahead in their careers. And then part 2 shares practical advice for how we can get more of that deep work done. It's all about creating daily work rituals, training our concentration, and minimizing interruptions. So Cal Newport is a computer scientist, computer science professor at Georgetown University. Over the last decade, his own career has been fantastically productive. He launched a popular blog, had 7 books published, and wrote many academic papers that have now been cited over 4,000 times. And now we'll begin with Lesson 1, Shallow versus Deep Work, Learning the Difference. Cal Newport learned the crucial importance of focusing deeply while he was earning his PhD at MIT. There, he saw the most accomplished researchers staring at a whiteboard together for many hours at a time, just thinking deeply about some scientific problem. And while studying the lives of the greatest people in history, he often saw that same pattern. They made a deep concentration a huge priority. So the most important idea in this entire book is the difference between shallow work and deep work. Shallow work doesn't require much concentration or skill and generally produces little value. For most knowledge workers, this includes constant communication through email, messaging apps, and meetings. Generally, a smart college graduate can be trained to do shallow work quickly. That's how you can distinguish it. Now, deep work, that requires sustained focus without distraction, and it allows us to develop new skills and to produce high-value work that is hard to copy. For knowledge workers, that could include crafting a marketing campaign, coding a new app feature, or optimizing a business procedure. Generally, deep work requires skills and expertise that must be developed over a long time, many months or years or even decades. When I was around 18, I spent months studying copywriting, which means learning how to write sales pages and landing pages that convince people to do things like buy a product. And then I made an online course, and I was able to sell it successfully because I had learned copywriting, a skill that's truly difficult and valuable. It's not something everyone can do. And by the way, if you're curious, good copywriting is really 90% market research and empathy mixed with 10% sales techniques, like those explained in the book Influence by Robert Cialdini. You can check out our summary of that book on growth.me. That's Influence by Robert Cialdini. To summarize this first lesson, shallow work is undemanding, repetitive, and doesn't produce much value. Instead, we should be doing more deep work, which requires sustained concentration on a mentally challenging task that allows us to build new skills and to finish more complex, long-term work projects. And now lesson two, aim for depth. Deep work is valuable, rare, and meaningful. So in part one of this book, Cal Newport argues that deep work is becoming more valuable and more rare, plus it brings meaning to our lives. Let's explore these 3 points quickly one by one, although he basically dedicates a chapter to each point. So point number one, deep work is becoming more valuable. As we said, deep work helps us learn complex skills and use those skills to produce high-value work. Now, in the past, many people could be very successful doing shallow, repetitive work, but those jobs are steadily disappearing because of automation and other reasons. On the other hand, today the internet allows people who are great at any skill to reach a worldwide audience and to earn huge, disproportionate rewards. And according to scientist Anders Ericsson, the key to developing those world-class skills is something called deliberate practice, which involves sustained concentration and corrective feedback. It's something quite similar to deep work. And now point number two, deep work is becoming more rare. Working with sustained concentration is becoming less common today because of popular business trends like constant digital communication and open offices. Cal Newport argues large organizations are not promoting these trends because they've made a rational calculation, but because they have something called a metric black hole, which means they can't really measure the cost of individual workers being interrupted all the time by, you know, that communication or by a lot of shallow work. And since most workers are not being evaluated on their deep work time, they instead fall into paths of least resistance, either doing what is easiest now, like emptying their inbox again, or doing what makes them look busiest to their boss. And now the third point, deep work is meaningful. Doing work that is engaging and challenging can put us into a state of mind called flow, first described by psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. He discovered that people feel most fulfilled when they're deeply engaged in some activity, not when they're relaxing in leisure like we may assume that we feel the best. And of course, deep work is deeply engaging and challenging. By the way, the author Nassim Taleb has some fascinating insights into economics. And in his book, The Black Swan, he says we're transitioning from an old world to a new one. The world we used to live in, he calls Mediocristan, where things were more equal and similar. But the world we're moving into is called Extremistan, where individual outliers can be extremely different than the average and have a huge impact. For example, something that exists in the world of Mediocristan is human height. So like most people are a similar height, around 5 or 6 feet tall. But something that exists in Extremistan is success. For example, Bill Gates is richer than 1,000 other people combined, and J.K. Rowling sells more books than 1,000 other authors combined, etc. And so we're slowly living more and more in this new world of Extremistan, where it really pays off to be the best in your field, but it's not that great to be even average. And you can learn more interesting ideas like that in our summary of The Black Swan by Nassim Taleb on growth.me. To summarize this lesson, today deep work is becoming more rare and valuable because of technology trends like the internet and automation. Doing work that is engaging and challenging also feels more meaningful. And now we have lesson three. Create daily rituals. Personal habits make deep work easier. Why do so many of us find it hard these days to concentrate? Maybe our problems can be explained by two recent ideas from psychology. First idea is willpower. Many of us think willpower is like a character trait, but researcher Roy Baumeister has discovered willpower is more like a muscle. So each morning we wake up with a limited amount of willpower, and it gets depleted over the day as we exert effort, make decisions, and resist impulses. And so the best way to avoid using up our limited willpower too quickly, according to Cal Newport, is to set up daily work rituals or habits that make working deeply almost automatic. And the second idea is attention residue. Switching your focus too often between multiple tasks decreases our performance, according to business professor Sophie Leroy. It's almost like some of our attention remains stuck on what we were working on before. And this is obviously a big problem for many modern workers who may spend their whole days being interrupted by email, messaging apps, or coworkers stopping by. The solution is to plan out long blocks of time without interruptions to focus on one thing. So we often imagine geniuses working chaotically and being struck by inspiration at random times, but in reality, many of the most accomplished people in history had very repetitive daily rituals which helped them to focus and structure their work life. Many of the examples Cal Newport shares in this book came from another book that is literally called Daily Rituals by journalist Mazen Curry, who documented the day-to-day work habits of over 100 influential artists and thinkers, and he found that no two of the individuals had the same rituals, but they had all created some types of daily rituals to support their creativity, and that's the most important part. So here's a great analogy that communicates the power of habits from productivity author James Clear. Quote, habits are the compound interest of self-improvement. The same way that money multiplies through compound interest, the effects of your habits multiply as you repeat them. They seem to make little difference on any given day, and yet the impact they deliver over the months and years can be enormous. It's only when looking back 2, 5, or perhaps 10 years later that the value of good habits and the cost of bad ones become strikingly apparent. End quote. And if you're interested in learning more about habits, check out our summary of Atomic Habits by James Clear at growth.me. Now to summarize this lesson, willpower is not a character trait, but more like a muscle that gets tired out over the day. So we must create daily rituals so that we can avoid depleting that willpower too quickly. And these rituals should involve long blocks of time focusing on single tasks so we don't suffer those effects of attention residue. Now lesson four, find your work style. Here are four common ways of working deeply. So in his studies, Cal Newport noticed four major styles of deep work. First one is monastic, which means you become basically unreachable, like a religious monk. This way of working is best for those who work alone on long-term projects, like writers or academics, allowing them to truly dedicate their lives to their craft. For example, this book mentions science fiction writer Neil Stephenson. He doesn't have a public email address because for him, every minute that he spends on email is one less minute spent writing his next novel. So a second work style is called bimodal, which means you switch between being unreachable and being connected for long stretches of time. So this is great for those who need to focus deeply, but have other work obligations too. For example, the great psychologist Carl Jung built a secluded house in the countryside where he worked deeply for many months every year, but he would always return to the busy city to work in the universities and with his patients. Now, a third work style is rhythmic, which means you set aside blocks of time to work deeply within your normal schedule. This is good for people with a full, busy life who are still trying to get deep work done. For example, one of Cal Newport's associates writes academic papers for 2 hours every morning before he goes to his job that pays the bills. And the fourth work style is journalistic, which means you do bursts of deep work whenever you have time to spare. This can be the right option for people who have busy and irregular work schedules. For example, Cal Newport himself is a busy father, so he fits in extra work time when his kids are taking a nap. In running my online business, I like to spend most of my work days focused on deep work, but then every 2 or 3 days, I reserve blocks of time for more shallow work, like email. This works great for me, but of course, that may not be possible for everyone. That's one big advantage of being self-employed, is that you can set up your work to not require constant email communication with others. But this is possible even within a company with many people. For example, in the software company Basecamp, the founders were located in different parts of the world as they were starting up. So when one of them was working, the others were often sleeping, and that gave them time to do their most valuable work without distractions. In fact, I read it was a big part of their success. To summarize this lesson, the four major styles of deep work are: number one, monastic, being basically unreachable; number two, bimodal, switching between long stretches of concentration and then connection; number three, rhythmic, daily deep work within a regular schedule; and number four, journalistic, fitting in deep work where possible. And now we have lesson five: minimize interruptions, remaining concentrated on one task. So here are three tips for being interrupted less often when you are working deeply. First, schedule your deep work. Plan out your blocks of deep work time, and these should include at least what you'll be working on, a start time, and an end time. And then when you're in one of those blocks, don't switch to anything else for even a minute. Remember that attention residue we talked about before. However, Cal Newport, when talking about his own habits, he says he's flexible with his time blocks, and as his day unfolds, he often moves them around. Second tip is check email less often. Most of us assume that we must respond to emails quickly, but this is often not true. So consider how you could explain the costs of too much shallow work interruptions to your boss, clients, or coworkers. In The 4-Hour Work Week, the author Tim Ferriss explains how he began checking his emails twice per day and then once per day. He let senders know about his new email routine with an auto-reply message, which also included his phone number for emergencies. And we also have a summary of that book on growth.me. Third tip, avoid open offices. The idea of open offices was really a misunderstanding, argues Cal Newport. Experts were studying why so much innovation came from certain places, like Bell Labs in the 1950s, and they believed it was because employees from different disciplines could run into each other often and talk with each other. However, those buildings didn't have big open office plans like we see today. They had secluded offices mixed with common areas where the researchers and engineers could mingle. So to summarize this lesson, remaining focused on one thing while you're working is crucial, which means eliminating interruptions. Schedule blocks of time to do deep work and to avoid checking anything else. Cal Newport is critical of companies that promote open offices and constant digital communication. And finally, we have lesson 6, train your concentration. Your ability to focus can be increased. Stanford professor Clifford Nass studied people who multitasked often, and he discovered their brains were actually changed, so they couldn't concentrate as effectively. So what if focus is not a fixed ability like we often assume, but more like a muscle that we can strengthen? And by the way, one of my favorite quotes ever on personal growth comes from Stephen Covey. Quote, "The ability to subordinate an impulse to a value is the essence of the proactive person. Reactive people are driven by feelings, by circumstances, by conditions, by their environment. Proactive people are driven by values, carefully thought about, selected, and internalized values." End quote. So when we choose to be productive, we're using our willpower to strive for our long-term values instead of giving into short-term impulses. And perhaps this is the most important way that humans are different from other animals. We have that power to choose not to follow our instincts and to be proactive, to use Stephen Covey's term. And you can read more, if you like that quote, you can read more in our summary of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. So Cal Newport, in this book, shares some ways we can train our willpower and concentration. First, pre-schedule your internet browsing time. Instead of jumping online whenever you get bored or tired, plan out your internet use beforehand and then resist going online until that time. This can increase your mental willpower, just like the physical resistance of lifting weights in the gym helps people grow stronger. So it's all about needing to resist until that time, and that will increase your willpower. A second tip is reconsider your use of social media. Most people think it makes sense to use social media if they can find any benefit to it, says Cal Newport. But this is a very unsophisticated way for a worker to choose their tools. Instead, we should be weighing both the benefits and the costs of each tool, like social media. We must also consider the opportunity costs of not investing that energy into other activities, which are probably more vital to our careers and well-being. And a third tip is end your work at a fixed time. Cal Newport doesn't work on weekends or past 5 or 6 p.m. on weekdays, although many professors in his position believe that is essential to their job. But he believes that clear shutdown time helps his productivity because his subconscious mind can then work on problems in the background when he's not working. Also, research shows that we can only do deliberate practice, like that intense concentration, for about 1 hour to 4 hours every day. So any work we do after that is more likely to be shallow. And by the way, don't worry if you find it difficult to avoid social media, infotainment sites, and shiny apps. That doesn't mean you're weak. It just means you're normal, a normal human being. In fact, giant technology companies spend hundreds of millions of dollars to make their apps more addictive. And many of their methods for doing that are explained in the book Hooked by Nir Eyal, a technology consultant. And I think it's worth reading that book to learn about how tech gets us to be addicted so then we can avoid their tricks better. For example, one way he says apps make us return to them again and again is through something called triggers, which can include notifications, emails, etc. So we can backwards engineer that. If you find yourself being pulled back into a distracting app over and over again, then remove the triggers. Turn off notifications, unsubscribe from emails, etc. And you can learn more in our summary of the book Hooked by Nir Eyal. To summarize this final lesson, You can strengthen your concentration through resisting impulsive gratification. Plan your internet usage time beforehand. Consider both the benefits and costs of social media, including the opportunity cost of not spending that energy elsewhere in activities that have a larger payoff, and also have a fixed shutdown time for your work. Okay, let's finish up with three practical action steps to apply this book to our lives. So to reduce our shallow work time, we should regularly ask ourselves, could a freshly hired person in my company be taught to do this work quickly, or would they need months or years of training? You see, deep work generally requires developing long-term skills or specialized expertise. A second question, we should ask ourselves often, how can we reduce time spent on email? Maybe we could set new expectations with our coworkers. Maybe we could have set scheduled times when we will check our inbox, or brainstorm some other ways you could do it. And the third step, which I mentioned a minute ago, if you use social media, consider not just the benefits, but also the costs, and especially the opportunity costs, not spending that energy elsewhere. For example, if someone was a blogger, they may receive some small benefits of exposure by using Twitter, but they would probably receive much larger benefits if they use that same time and energy to do the core work of blogging, like doing more research, more writing, or individual outreach to other influential bloggers. Okay, so I hope you found this summary useful, and I will see you in the next one.